has come. Our promised guiding light and Savior has arrived. The hopes and fears of all the years, especially the year 2020, have been met and fulfilled in the baby Jesus. This morning, as we prepare to conclude a very challenging year together, we give thanks once again to our living hope, our abundant joy, our love embodied, and our peace everlasting. Now, with confidence in the great God of promise, let's join together our voices and call ourselves into worship once again. We come from a world of darkness into Christ's world of light. We come from a world of weariness into God's strength and incarnational hope. We come from a slumbering world. Strengthened by the Spirit, we come to awaken our souls and celebrate the coming of Christ.
Good morning, and as we continue in the season of Christmastide, we don't want to put up our hope, our love, our joy, our peace just yet. We are going to continue in worship, so we just invite you to come on into this place. We're going to lift up Jesus who has come to us. We celebrate that He is with us and for us, and all of this is for Him this morning.
Night lifts softly, the world lies sleeping, heaven bends to earth below. Christmas morning, children waking to hear the sacred story.
Let us hear now from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, Broadway family. I'm Pastor Laura, and I am so excited to say to you today, Merry Christmas. Now, I know, most of you celebrated Christmas a couple days ago. So many of you joined us to worship online, and then others of you came into one of our parking lots outside to light your candles and to sing Silent Night. It was a special and a sacred time. But by now, I'm going to guess that you've probably sung all the carols and opened all the presents and eaten all of the sweet and savory treats, and perhaps even by this point, taken all your decorations down. I remember one Christmas day when my mother-in-law had de-Christmased the house before I'd even taken my last bite of cake. Maybe you have someone in your family like that. But the world around us is beginning to move on from Christmas as well. Stores are having their after Christmas sales, and all the merchandise has been replaced with what we need to celebrate New Year's and Valentine's Day. It would seem that once again, Christmas has come and gone. And now we'll just have to wait another year until 2021 to celebrate. But in all actuality, in the Christian calendar, Christmas has just begun. We keep the party going for 12 whole days while we await Epiphany, the day in which we remember how the Magi came to visit Jesus. And so, if you're at home and you still got your tree up today, go ahead and plug that back in. Go ahead and pull back out that ugly Christmas sweater and go to the kitchen and grab that leftover piece of pecan pie, because today we are going to keep right on celebrating the birth of Christ and hopefully discover together a way that we can carry his coming into the world with us each and every day. Throughout the season of Advent, we reflected on the different names of Jesus. We reflected on how he was Lord and Messiah, Savior, the Word made flesh. And today, as we enter into the season of Christmastide, we turn our attention to one final name, Emmanuel, which simply means God with us. It's a name that finds its origin in the Old Testament story of God. During a time when the people of Judah found themselves not just like a little bit afraid, not just like mildly concerned, but the Bible says they were shaking with fear like trees shaken by the wind. Yikes. In that moment, they were under siege by not just one, but two nations. And their enemies were beginning to close in on them. It was looking like they were going to win. And so the people of Judah, they were absolutely terrified about what might happen next. They were scared because their future was uncertain, particularly for the king, Ahaz, who these enemies wanted to overthrow and put someone else in his place. But in the midst of all of this fear, God sent the prophet Isaiah to give a message to Ahaz and to his people. a message that was a promise to them. This is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 7. It says, "Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says, it will not take place. It will not happen. All that worry over nothing." Let me ask you a question today. Have you ever found yourself in the king of Judah's shoes? Have you ever found yourself all worked up over something that never actually happened? Perhaps you've wrung your hands and retreated, or you've paced the floors and had all kinds of sleepless nights over something that in the end never came to pass. Let me go ahead and just raise my hand and say that I have certainly done this. And research says that I am not alone, that all of us do this. And not just a little bit, but like a whole lot. Research has estimated that 85% of the things that you and I worry about never actually happens. 85% of the things we fear never come about. One of the studies that helped to discover this asked people to just write down the things that they were worried and concerned about over an extended period of time. And then they asked them to look back and to go through and mark the things that hadn't actually played out. And so whenever they went through this exercise, what they discovered was not only that 85% of this never came about, but that in that other 15%, that those things that did happen weren't nearly as bad as they thought they would be, that they had been able to handle it better than they had thought, or that they had learned something important from it. And so in the end, what the researchers determined was that 97% of what we worry about is something that is nothing more than our fearful minds getting out of control, our fearful minds getting out of hand, causing us to exaggerate and have all kinds of misconceptions. You and I, we are prone to catastrophize at times. And so wouldn't it be nice if God could send a prophet to like stand right in front of us in those moments when our fear is getting out of hand to say to us, it will not take place. It will not happen. But let's be honest. Would that really be enough for us? We can get pretty worked up, right? And so maybe that's why God not only sent the prophet Isaiah to make this promise to Ahaz, but that he also gives this sign to him as well. Isaiah says, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He'll be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste." Now, scholars disagree over the identity of who this young woman and son were. Some scholars think that it was Isaiah the prophet whose wife soon bore a son to be a sign to God's people. Other scholars think that it was just another random young woman. But most scholars tend to agree that most likely it was Ahaz, the king's own wife, who soon bore a son. A son so that every time that Ahaz would look upon him and every time he would call out his name, Emmanuel, he would remember God's promise to him. His son was meant to be this living reminder that he need not be afraid because God was with him. And then sure enough, just like God had promised, before the time when this child was old enough to eat curds and honey and know wrong from right, the enemy kings that had threatened the people of Judah and made them shake with fear, shake like trees shaken by the wind, those kings were the ones who had been conquered and overrun. And so Emmanuel was a promise to a particular king in that particular time, in that particular situation. And God faithfully fulfilled that promise in that particular moment, right then. But Emmanuel was also a promise that the people of God would look back on and cling to for generations to come. It was a promise that they would look back on when they found themselves feeling afraid and terrified about whatever was happening amongst them. Whenever they were concerned about what might happen next, they would look back on this moment and long for God to do what he had done again. They would long for him to send another Emmanuel, another living reminder that he was with them. For 735 years, they waited. And then in the midst of another fear-filled moment, God delivered on this promise yet again. As his people were being ruled over and oppressed by Rome, the Gospel of Matthew tells us that what they were hoping for came about, that God fulfilled this promise from long ago through the birth of Jesus Christ. Matthew 1:22 says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." God showed himself to be faithful once more. However, what God's people could have never expected was that God's fulfillment of this promise this time was so much bigger and so much better than before. When God had promised a son to Ahaz, this son was born and he was just an ordinary child who was meant to be a symbol, a signpost that God was with them and that he kept his promises. But now, in the person of Jesus, this child wasn't just a living reminder, he was the living God himself. He was no mere symbol or signpost. He was Emmanuel in the fullest sense. God with us. The divine having come and taken on human flesh and making his home here among us. As this child's story continues to unfold in the book of Matthew, he'll never be called the name Emmanuel again. Nor will he ever be called that in another place in Scripture. But in everything that Jesus goes on to do, he shows himself to not just be called, but to truly be Emmanuel. Everywhere he goes, he drives out fear as he does the things that God does. As he makes the blind to see and the lame to walk. As he heals the sick and feeds thousands with a sack lunch. As he calms the wind and walks upon the waves. As he forgives sins and as he overcomes death with resurrection. And then, as the book of Matthew draws to a close, this is the promise that Jesus makes to us. "And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." You see, Emmanuel isn't just who Jesus was in the past when he walked upon this earth, but rather Emmanuel is who Jesus is always and forever and everywhere. The promise that God fulfilled through the birth of Jesus has come across the ages and now comes to us. God is with us here and now in this very moment. But let me ask you a question today. Does the way that we are living our lives reflect that that's the case? Are we living out of faith that Emmanuel indeed is with us? Or more often than not, do we find ourselves living out of fear as if we're in this all by ourselves? Now, don't get me wrong. Fear is a basic human emotion. God actually wired fear into us for a purpose. It's meant to alert us when there should be something that concerns us so that we can make wise decisions. It's meant to protect us and help us to survive, which are all really good things, right? But here's where the problem comes in. When this one emotion begins to rule everything else. Fear was never meant to be in charge. Fear was never meant to direct all our decisions. Fear was never meant to call all the shots, because here's the thing about fear. It skews our perceptions. It skews our perceptions of ourselves, our perceptions of others, our perceptions of our world, and even our perceptions of God himself. Fear causes us to see things not as they really are. Remember that 85% of the things that we fear that never come about? And so thankfully, God has given us a spiritual practice that keeps fear from overwhelming and overrunning our lives. It's a practice that helps keep fear in its necessary but appropriate place in our lives. It's a practice that helps us recognize that God is with us so that faith rather than fear can reign. It's the practice of meditation. And as I say that word, I know what some of you might be thinking. You might be thinking, I have no idea how to do that. Or you might be thinking, that sounds weird. Or you might even be thinking, who in the world has time for something like that? But let me let you in on a little secret today. If you already know how to worry, then you already know how to meditate. See? We're all experts and we didn't even know it. Essentially, meditation is positive worry. Meditation is simply the process by which our minds intensely dwell on something over a period of time. And so it's not a question of if you and I meditate, but rather it's a question of on what and when. Christian meditation helps us to dwell. It helps us to intentionally focus our minds on God and his presence in our lives. It isn't some attempt to just ignore our concerns or pretend that they're not there, but rather it's about taking the time to recognize that God is present with us right in the middle of them. It's about us bringing our worries before him so that he can help us see them more clearly and accurately. It's about us listening for God's voice in the midst of the very real circumstances that we face so that fear isn't what is driving us and directing our steps. A lot of times, we tend to think of meditation as being this thing where we try to completely empty our minds. But in Christian meditation, meditation is all about us trying to fill our minds with God. And so one of the powerful ways that we do that is by meditating on Scripture. I'd like to invite you to give this a try today. And so, if you would, go ahead and get comfortable in your seat today. And as you settle in, take a few deep breaths. In just a moment, we're going to put a scripture up on the screen, and we're gonna leave it there for you to focus your attention on as I guide us through this. Let's enter together into this time. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. And do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Take a moment now to read through this verse on your own. Read it a couple times and let the words roll around in your mind. Joshua says, "Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed." In what places in your life are you frightened and dismayed today? Now take a moment to dwell on the fact that the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How does recognizing that God is present reshape your fears today? How does this presence change the way that you would face them? What would it look like for you to be strong and courageous in those places in your life? Listen to the passage one more time. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Thank you, God, for being Emmanuel, for being God with us, no matter where we go or what comes our way. May we carry your presence with us into this day. Amen. Imagine if you took just a few moments at the start of your day, or as you drove to work, or as you sat down at your desk, and you took this time to intentionally turn your attention to the one who came long ago and who is still present with us today. Imagine how it might transform your attitude, how it might inform your decisions, how it might expand your dreams, how it might redeem your interactions with others. If you framed your day not with fear, but with faith in Emmanuel, and then carried with you the peace that he brings with you throughout your day. This week, I'd like to challenge you to give that a try. Just one time. If you've got your calendar nearby, pick one day and one time that you're going to get intentional about becoming aware of God's presence in your life through the practice of meditation. You can use the scripture that we used earlier today, Joshua 1:9. And you don't have to spend a whole lot of time, just a couple minutes or even less. But take this time and make this small investment and see if God doesn't do a big thing in your life. Because this practice is about helping us to realize that we are not alone in this life, but that our God always and everywhere has his face turned toward us. Dallas Willard is an amazing writer and an amazing speaker about spiritual practices. And he tells a story about a little boy who lost his mom at a very early age. Many nights, he would become sad and he would begin to get scared. And so he would go in and he would climb into bed with his dad. But even then, as he lay there in the darkness, his fear was there. And so he would call out to his father and he would ask him, "Father, is your face turned toward me?" And the father would reply, "Yes, you are not alone. I am with you. My face is turned towards you." And it was only then, after the father had given his son this assurance, that the son was finally able to rest. When we find ourselves filled with fear, when we are shaking like the people of Judah, shaking like the trees in the wind, when we are consumed with the what ifs and the maybes, when we start dreaming up catastrophes, knowing that God's face is turned toward us is what allows us to find rest in his presence. It stills our shaking. It calms all the what ifs and maybes. It shrinks down to size the dreamed up catastrophes of our minds. Despite the very real challenges that will inevitably come our way, it is this assurance that empowers us to keep moving forward in faith, knowing that Emmanuel, God, is with us, rather than letting fear get the final say. And so whatever it is that you are facing, let me send you with this blessing today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.
Still a mystery to me that the hands of God could could be so small. A tiny finger's reaching in the night were the very hands that measure the skies. Hallelujah.
Shown on a holy
Jesus Christ is born. Let's celebrate together by taking Holy Communion. I invite you to join me with the liturgy found on the screen. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be a light to the nations. You scatter the proud in the imagination of their hearts and have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You put down the mighty from their thrones and exalt those of low degree. You fill the hungry with good things, and the rich you send empty away. Your own Son came among us as a servant to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to your will and freely accepted death on a cross. By the baptism of his suffering and death and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And on the night which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread and said, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering with us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let us pray. Father God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. I invite you now to take communion with your family. Our faithful God of great promise has always and will always be with us. Thanks for joining us in worship this last Sunday of year 2020. If you are personally have been impacted by our faithful God this morning, I invite you to share that with us, along with any prayer requests you might have, on our online communication form. You can easily access this form by clicking on the check-in button at the top right of your screen. At Broadway, we continue to be grateful for your faithfulness in giving. You continue to help us build innovation and creativity in ministry here at Broadway. You can still participate in our special dollar difference and Christmas Eve offerings supporting the ministry of Justin and Ashley Guest in Honduras by clicking on the giving button that takes you to our online giving platform. Finally, I want to invite you next Sunday to join us for our annual covenant renewal service. Since the very beginning of the Methodist movement started by John Wesley, people who have called themselves Methodists have joined in this to mark the covenant we all share in with our Lord God. It's such a life-giving and helpful way to kick off our year 2021 together as a people of faith. As we conclude today, join me in the benediction you find on your screen. We depart this gathering with our faces set on Christ, witnesses of that great light coming into the world. Emmanuel, God with us. May our actions this week reflect that light so that in the midst of our darkness, our very lives may announce the advent of the Messiah. Amen and amen. Go in his peace.